If you have a girl 13, 14 years old, she has what seems to be an intense case of adolescence, is what we used to call it. But now she picks up her smartphone.
Academic psychologists have been able to link the extremely high rates of anxiety and depression we're seeing in adolescent girls, higher than we've ever before seen, to the young women's use of social media on their smartphone.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McCaig of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. As always, let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, through the intercession of St. Ignatius Loyola, we ask that you pour forth your Holy Spirit upon us, a spirit of discernment. They might hear your voice and obey your command. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, friends, something you need to know. It is Friday when we're getting ready for weekend readiness. You should also know that I'm not in the studio today. I'm on the road saving souls in other places with God's grace, of course. So you're going to notice a diminished sound quality on my end. When we welcome our guest, Montse Alvarado, the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, WTN News, starting the next segment, She's Got the Good Connection. So if things sound a little sketchy and scratchy, there's nothing wrong. I'm just not in the studio today. Week in readiness, we review the headlines of the week in light of the upcoming Sunday scriptures. And then we talk about how to get ready for Sunday Mass. If you're following the Novus Ordo calendar, the Pauline Rite, we are in the third Sunday of Easter, number 47 in the lectionary. Well, what can we say about what's taking place in the church and the world right now? Well, you know, Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. The church has pretty much seen it all in terms of human behavior, people refusing to cooperate with God's grace. And yet there seems to be novel ways of getting things wrong. Let's talk about some things in the news that are sadly all too familiar. China and Russia seem to be engaging in saber rattling. There seems to be threats of violence by people thirsting for justice in certain cities around the United States. Alarming legislation is making its way through Congress again. But here's the story that really is grabbing my attention. The Vatican is holding a weekend conference, May 6th through 8th, that I want to tell you about. And it's called Exploring the Mind, Body, and Soul, How Innovation and Novel Delivery Systems Improve Human Health. Well, who are the guests for that? Well, there's Dr. Anthony Fauci, medical celebrity. And there's also Chelsea Clinton. Yes, that Chelsea Clinton. There is also former supermodel Cindy Crawford. And then there is the distinguished Joe Perry of the rock band Aerosmith. And no, I'm not kidding. What do we make of all that, especially because we're in the Easter season? And I have friends who are saying, Father, whatever Paschal joy I had, it's gone. It's just not there anymore. And it's all just too strange, and I can't take it anymore. Those thoughts might be crossing your mind. I'm not going to shame you. I'm not going to wag my finger at you. But I will say this. I want to offer you an alternative. And the alternative is to be amazed. What do I mean by that? Well, St. Thomas Aquinas said that amazement comes from the inability to see the whole. Therefore, God cannot be amazed. And I want you to be amazed by how God forgives. See, we have such a narrow, crabbed, small view of forgiveness. So if we go to confession at all, and if you haven't gone to confession, the precept of the church, you have to go to confession once a year during the Easter season. Please do that. But we think of confession merely as having our record expunged. And it is so very much more. So let's look at this resurrection appearance from the Gospel of Luke. You know, the disciples come in from Emmaus and they talk about making Jesus known and the breaking of the bread, and he shows up. And they're startled and terrified, thinking they've seen a ghost. And he says, peace be with you. They're still afraid. He says, why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your heart? And he says, look, my hands and my feet, it's really me. Well, why the hands and the feet? Well, because he's distinguished by his wounds, which are not so much signs of victimization as badges of honor, proofs of love. And he's not a figment of the imagination. He's not a ghost. because he eats the fish that they have there. And I want to take that eating of the fish and relate it to another gospel account of fish and what St. John says, that encounter on the seashore where he confronts Peter who betrayed him. And he doesn't kill Peter. He doesn't shame him. He does forgive him, but he doesn't say, I forgive you, I'm not going to kill you, and now I'm just going to banish you. Rather, he says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. So he not only forgives Peter, he restores him. He restores him to trust. He restores him to relationship. And then he gives him a very great mission. And that's what our Lord wants to do with us. He asks us to learn how to live as forgiven. See, the enemy wants us to believe that what is most important about us, what defines us, is our sin, especially the sin that we are most ashamed of. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. We have to rebuke that lie. What defines us is our relationship with Christ and our baptism, our membership in the body of Christ. God, our Lord, has a very great good for us, which is the happiness of heaven. And the way to get there is to be by becoming a saint in this life. And he gives us the opportunity for sanctity by fighting inside in the difficult and crazy time that we're living in right now. And I'm speaking to you as a sinner. I know I am a sinner. I've shaken my fist in the face of a holy God and say, my will be done. And I have lied to myself and made excuses for my sin. And God in his mercy let me fall on my face very, very hard in ways that have left a mark. And that's brought me to repentance. So I know that I'm not only a sinner, I know that I am a loved sinner. And I am in the business of reaching out to sinners, of extending his mercy. I'm in the business of chasing the sheep into the ark while there is still time. And there is an amazing grace being offered to us that we can be set free from our shame and from our grief and from our self-loathing. And we can come to believe that we can be so transformed in Christ by embracing his cross that when we meet our Heavenly Father face to face, he will see and love in us what he sees and loves in his only begotten Son. So we have a very great mission. First of all, to acknowledge that we are sinners. Secondly, to acknowledge that we are loved sinners. And third, to bring that great, wonderful news to the rest of the world. Friends, let's face it, the people who are in denial about their sin, the people who are mutilating themselves in the names of freedom, the people who are embracing nonsense and foolishness in the names of ideology, the people who are committing unspeakable brutal violence as an advocacy for justice, they're all miserable. They're all in very great pain. They're causing very great pain. And it's not going to end well for anyone who does not repent. What does that mean? It means you and I have work to do. Remember, Our Lady said, people are falling into hell like snowflakes because there's no one to pray for them. There's no one to do penance for them. There's no one to make reparation for them. Next month is going to be the season of Fatima. We're going to start remembering the appearances of Our Lady of Fatima again. The angel said to this year's penance, penance, penance. So we have work to do. We have to let people know that sin is going to kill us all unless we accept God's mercy, unless we show people how to live as saints with God's grace. And we have to let people know that in this mad, crazy world, we can live as happy warriors. We know that Christ, our crucified and risen Lord, is even now our reigning Lord. He is our returning Lord, coming back to judge the living and the dead and the world by fire. And he gives us the very great privilege of fighting at his side, so we can share in his victory and share in his glory. So friends, this is a hard time. It is a frightening time. It is a very discouraging time. Push past the dark feelings. Push past the dark feelings to embrace Christ. Kiss his wounds. By his stripes, we are healed. And then go out into a world that is drunk on the blood of its young, tearing apart itself apart because it doesn't know Christ, and then proclaim Christ. God will do the rest. We have to do our part. May God's holy name be praised now and forever. I'm Jesuit Father Robert McTague here at the Catholic Current. Stay with us for the rest of the hour. We're going to be talking about the intersection of faith and news. My guest is going to be Monse Alvarado. She's with the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, and she's the host of EWTN News In Depth, which can be heard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern here on the Station of the Cross and other EWTN TV and radio affiliates. Remember, our rallying cry at the Catholic Current is Christus Mundo, Mundus Christo, moving Christ to the world and the world to Christ. We do it because our Lord says so, for the greater glory of God, the love of our neighbor, and the salvation of our own soul. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Stay with us.
There's no better way to start your day than with spiritual formation from inspiring priests.
We have to remember, as we look back through history, life was very difficult for people, and therefore faith was fairly easy. In our society, life has become very easy, and therefore the faith has become very difficult. Life has become so simple and easy, so God's going to test our faith.
That's Sermons for Everyday Living, weekdays from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern on the Station of the Cross.
You're listening to The Catholic Current with Father Robert McTague from the Station of the Cross Catholic Media Network. Stay connected with the show, our guests, and topics by following the show on Twitter and Gab. Just search for The Catholic Current.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for The Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. If you're just joining us, you should know at the top of the hour, it was Weekend Readiness. I review the headlines of the week in line to the upcoming Sunday Scriptures. If you missed that, go to thestationofthecross.com. or your favorite podcast platform to get that important audio. We're going to be talking about the intersection of faith and news. What concerns regular folks also concerns religious folks. We have an obligation to be informed. A lot of people want to sell us things. A lot of people want to get rich lying to us. Who's going to tell us the truth that we need? So we need to talk about the intersection between faith and the news. And we have an expert guest today. She's been with the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, and she is with EWTN News In Depth, which you can hear on the Station of the Cross and other EWTN TV and radio affiliates. Monse Alvarado, welcome to The Catholic Current.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm grateful to be here with you today.
Monse, you've done so many interesting things. It's an embarrassment of riches. I hardly know where to begin, but I want to take a very suggestive quote. You said, "I'm not a lawyer, but I play one on TV." Can you tell us what that means, please?
Sure. So I've been at the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty fighting for the religious freedom of people of all faiths for the past 12 years. And I'm not a lawyer, but over the past 12 years, I've realized that it's really important for people to know their rights and to be able to articulate them in the public square. So just because you're not a lawyer doesn't mean that you don't understand religious freedom, that you don't know how to fight for religious freedom, and that you're not capable of going out into your community and discussing these important issues. So I try to do that to infuse some humor, but also to encourage people to take on that task, even though they're not attorneys.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. I think nowadays we've been living under the tyranny of the cult of the expert. And the suggestion is, if you're not a particular expert in a particular domain, you have to shut up because, you know, I have the credentials and you don't. That certainly hasn't served us well in the past year and a half. The Beckett Fund for Religious Freedom, whose work I respect very much, they have particular reason to be extra busy these days. Can you tell us what's on your radar these days?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the conflict that we have now is one of religious literacy, where people just don't understand the religious impulse and what happens when you believe in something and it compels you to go out into society and start a homeless shelter or start a soup kitchen. So they're definitely that misunderstanding leads us to have these kind of legal conflicts. Well, where all of a sudden you have a public fight over whether the government is allowed to fund a private school that has religious curriculum, or whether you're allowed to bring your religion with you when you are at work, whether a sailor is allowed to wear a religiously mandated beard in the military, whether you're allowed to provide foster and adoption care services while believing in traditional marriage. All of these things are starting to bubble up because people don't understand religion, but also because some people have a deep bias against religion, or they don't believe that religion has value in society. We've seen that obviously politically over the past 15 years, really intensely since the legalization of same-sex marriage. And now with the LGBTQ and transgender rights advocacy groups coming up very aggressively, the challenging and coming after the church is something that we are poised to defend.
You know, I'm glad to hear that, because there seems to be a change in understanding. You know, there used to be, you know, free exercise, which is in the First Amendment, and we went from freedom of religion to freedom from religion. And now the language that I'm hearing isn't so much, you know, freedom of religion, but freedom of worship. So that if you want to go into your worship space and do your thing, you're at liberty to do that. But otherwise, you need to shut up in the public square. And now even freedom of worship is being impinged upon since what I call the COVID interruption. And I've noted with horror that one church in, I think, Calgary, Canada, hasn't been cooperating with the COVID interruption, to the point where the pastors not only end up in jail, the government has built a wall around the church. Mm. Is that the sort... You know, that phrase, oh, that could never happen here, historically, that's never turned out well. Is that the kind of thing that you're concerned with, that if we let our guard down, that's the direction we might be heading?
It's a big concern, big concern, because exactly that rhetoric of freedom of worship versus freedom of religion is something that started in 2008 with President Obama and Senator Clinton, former, you know, state secretary as well. They started that rhetoric of freedom of worship, and it picked up. And it picked up because people are worried about what it means when you say freedom of religion for political reasons, but also because they don't know what to do with their religion anymore. We don't have the right kind of formation to explain to people that you're splitting yourself in half. You're living a half citizenship, not a full citizenship, when you don't bring your beliefs with you into the public square, when you check them at the door when you walk into work, or check them at the door when you walk into a university campus. And those are all conflicts that we're watching in the news today, obviously, with the story of the cake baker, or the story of the religious groups on campus that are getting kicked off for wanting to have Bible studies together. These are real stories happening in the United States. And the COVID issue is particularly pernicious because it allows the government to choose winners and losers. And that's not okay. They can choose the kind of speech that is out there, and they can shut down churches without a real motive. And obviously the pandemic was a real motive that the bishops reacted to very quickly, but it wasn't one where you could treat religion worse, which is exactly what you just described in Calgary, but it's also what was happening in California.
Friends, I'm in conversation with Monte Alvarado. She's Vice President and Executive Director of the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, and now hosts EW10 News In Depth. We're talking about faith, freedom, and the news. Monte, a lot of the folks that I've talked with at different levels of church throughout the country, they're very concerned about the Human Equality Act making its way through Congress. And their concern is that if that becomes the law of the land, that activists who were intruding upon the work of, say, Christian bakers are going to start showing up at hospitals and schools and say, you better hire this transgendered person or we're shutting you down. Is that fear mongering, or do you think there's some truth to it?
I think it's half and half, right? The Equality Act is a big deal. The Equality Act gets rid of legal protections for religious believers, mainly RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is an act that was passed to protect religious minorities mostly, but also any kind of religious believer who wants to be able to live their life according to their conscience. And by getting rid of RFRA and basically gutting it, saying you don't get your day in court, you don't get a legal defense when we say you're discriminating, that is highly problematic. And the situations that you describe are hypotheticals, but they are real. The moment that that law passes, you will have people who are coming to schools or to, you know, shelters that don't want to house men in women's facilities because of the trauma that's associated with that, or traditional Black churches that have a traditional view of marriage, gutting their ministry and their ability to have religious exemptions. All of that, Pell Grants for universities, a lot of concerns there for sure.
Martha, I'm going to ask you to speculate a little bit, and if you're not inclined to, that's fine. We'll pass on. But this momentum of pushing against churches, is it rooted in a misplaced misunderstanding of freedom, or because of an institutional animus against religion in general and Catholicism in particular?
I would tell you that it's both. People forget that in the United States there is an animus toward the Catholic Church. It was enshrined in law for a long time in what we call Blaine Amendments. The anti-Catholic movement, particularly associated with schools, is real. But there is also this anthropological misunderstanding of what freedom is and who human beings are. And when we search for truth and we search for the transcendent, we have to have the freedom to come up with our own answers, not government mandated answers. And that's really important. And it's American in its basic values.
Part of my concern, and this is, you know, I'm a former university professor, and I like teaching the truth. And I know there were some folks who said, you know, if we only have the right properly formulated conscience clause, then people will leave us alone. And I said, conscience clause are a lot like restraining orders in a domestic abuse case. It's a piece of paper that works only if the abuser believes in the power of the piece of paper. And if the abuser doesn't, then you're not safe. Is it fair to criticize conscience clauses that way?
Yeah, it's as you said, it's only worthwhile if you have an open agreement where that's valuable and you have a defense against it. Case in point is the Equality Act. You can have an exemption from a law, but if you don't have a defense when someone violates it, how is that useful to you? And I do think I worry when people say that freedom of conscience is enough. Freedom of conscience is one of a three-pronged way of looking at religious freedom. It's the right to believe, right? But then you have the right to form, to teach people, and then the right to act, to do something with that belief. All three of them have to be protected, not just one.
And I also think that a gift of the church is to tell people the truth, not only the truth that is revealed in scripture and sacred tradition, but the truth about human nature that's available to every ordinarily intelligent person of goodwill through the natural law. So it's say, hey, because we know what it is to be a man, what it is to be a woman, we know about marriage, we know about family, we know about how society and culture works. And as in the United States as a whole, and maybe even in the West, we're moving down a path that is not good for anyone. And I'm concerned that I don't see the church rushing to make that argument. Is that a concern that you have also?
You know, it is a concern, but I think I see it in a different way, because I'm not sure that everyone understands these concepts and this lingo in the same way. Going back to what you said in the beginning, why I say I'm not a lawyer, but I play one on TV. I want people to understand that this natural impulse to understand freedom and to understand freedom of religion, it's absolutely there. But we sometimes articulate it with such lofty language that it's hard for people to understand, to pay attention to it, to see how urgent it is. And so, yes, I would say we have done a poor job of forming people, but we've also done a poor job of meeting people where they are and understanding their needs for formation.
Right. I had done some good work with a boot camp for new medical students and new residents. These were highly motivated Catholic professionals who were very, very gifted, but they didn't have the philosophical background to talk about natural law or the principle of double effect or teleology. So there's a lot of Catholic intellectual apparatus that we need to blow the dust off of and give people very user-friendly connections so they can put the tools to work themselves. And that's part of what we want to do in Catholic media. And that will set us up to talk about in the next segment, your good work with EW10 News in depth. Friends, I'm in conversation with Montserrat Alvarado, who is the Vice President and Executive Director of the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. She's a lay consultant to the Bishops' Conference Religious Liberty Committee, and she is the host of EW10 News in Depth, heard Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, here on the Station of the Cross and other EW10 TV and radio affiliates. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcast. Don't just spread the audio around, subscribe to the channel, write a review, attract the attention of the algorithms so that these conversations get the attention that they deserve. Everything you need to spread the conversation to your family and friends, we give to you. Together, let's take it around the world. We'll be back in just a mere 2 minutes. Please do stay with us.
This is The Catholic Current from the Station of the Cross Catholic Media Network. Catch up on an episode you've missed or share them with your family or friends. The Catholic Current is podcasted wherever you enjoy listening. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McKay of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. A little bit of a housekeeping reminder. If you've been listening from the top of the hour, you say, hey, Father doesn't sound like he used to. Does he have a cold, or is he broadcasting from a parking lot? What's going on? I am on the road, which is a very Jesuit thing to do, trying to save souls in some other places. I don't have my usual microphone and equipment. We're kind of making this up as we go along. But next time you hear me, I'll be back in the studio, and I will, and we'll have the sound quality that you expect. I'm in conversation with Montse Alvarado. She is with the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, and she's also the host of EWTN News in Depth. Montse, I want to talk about that. We have to be informed, and we also know that we're being lied to. You know, Mark Twain said, if you're not reading the newspapers, you're uninformed. If you are reading the newspaper, you're misinformed. I can only wonder what he'd say about getting your news from the internet or from cable television. Tell us about EW News in depth, what you're doing and why it's worth our time.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for allowing me to talk to you about EWTN News in Depth, this new show that that is launched by EWTN News. And I'm the new host, which is a new endeavor for me, of course, having never done this before and working in religious freedom work for the past 12 years. But it's one that we're taking up, with a humble approach, knowing that what we're doing is searching for truth. We're searching for that deeper understanding of the news, cutting out the noise, cutting out the fat, right? And making sure that everyone has access to what really matters and what is going to affect their lives from a global perspective, as we are part of a universal global church.
You know, I'm glad to hear that, because people do need to be informed. And you know, I think back to, Gene Roddenberry, the founder of Star Trek back in the 60s, said television exists for one purpose and one purpose only. To sell you things. And nowadays, the media wants to sell you a worldview. And that worldview doesn't include a large welcome spot for the Catholic Church. Now, there are people who think that because I'm in Catholic media, I get a big fat check from the Vatican every month. That certainly
certainly not happen. True.
You know, yeah, we live hand to mouth, just like everybody else. You know, I'm not doing this to be popular or liked. You're not doing it either. What motivates you? What makes the work that you're doing distinctive from, say, Chris Cuomo, to pick an arbitrary example?
Goodness, very different. I would say two things. One, like you're saying, this is a calling. This is definitely a move to want to be deeper in my faith as well and more informed myself and to share that with others. And I don't take that lightly. I've been fighting for religious freedom for a long time. And I realized that sometimes we're called to exercise our own religious freedom. And being able to talk about the news from a Catholic perspective, from the perspective of my heart and my home church, is a privilege mm-hmm. and one that I don't take lightly. So it's a personal experience for me. And then separately, it's an endeavor in doing something new, in trying to offer something that isn't offered anywhere else on the planet, only here on this show and on this channel and network.
Right. And you know, I'm a Jesuit, and the ministry of the word has been an essential part of work since our founding in 1540. And we've been known as teachers and been known as preachers. And towards the latter part of my teaching career, I found myself interrupting my lecture more and more with the observation, this is the part where you write down what I say. And people looked at me at first in bewilderment and later in indignation. And I said, you know, maybe I should do something different. And then I read, I think it was Gerard Manley Hopkins used the phrase, to fling out broad his name. And that's certainly what I want to do in my work in Catholic media. But what about the people who say, aha, Father, you Jesuit, you, and Monse, you're just Catholic shills. You know, you're just doing Vatican propaganda. You're no more a real journalist than the people you complain about in secular media. I'm sure you've heard that objection. How do you answer it?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, yes. You know, everyone has a stone to throw at anyone, at someone who wants mm-hmm. to be in the public square being openly religious in some way. But even from within mm-hmm. Catholic circles, right? The idea that we would be pushing propaganda, it doesn't work that way. Individual revelation is something that we believe in our church as well. And being compelled by the love of the Blessed Mother and the revelation of the truth in Jesus Christ is real. And that's mm-hmm. what moves me. And I know it's what moves you. So I can tell you right. that those challenges are misguided.
Right.
The Pope isn't calling
Friends,
me.
There we go. Friends, I'm in conversation with Monse Alvarado. We're talking about her hosting EW10 News in Depth. You can hear it on the Station of the Cross Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, and another EWTV and radio affiliates. Monse, here's part of what concerns me, is that there are people who are just overwhelmed. I remember when Walter Cronkite would say, and I was a kid, I hasten to add, when Walter Cronkite said, and that's the way it is, you just took that for granted. And at midnight, the TV networks would just go off the air. They'd play the national anthem, and that was it. Now you've got a 24/7 news cycle. It feels like you're trying to get a glass of water from a fire hydrant, and people are looking for excuses to stop thinking and stop listening. Case in point. I have some reservations about getting the jab regarding the present affliction. And, oh, Father's an anti-vaxxer. Well, no, I'm not. Listen to what I have to say. In your experience in Catholic media, do people look for excuses not to listen to you?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, even with the launch of this show, there was some controversy flung at me that I was the mouthpiece of EWTN. And that couldn't be further from the truth, because the whole point of this show is to have a fresh voice, to have a new perspective, to look at this through the eyes of the emerging church, both as an immigrant and as a young person. I think that I bring that to the table. And so I do think it's frustrating, but it's something that we have to take with prayer and take with a deep mm-hmm. understanding of just how overwhelmed, like you said, people are. People are overwhelmed. They're drinking through a fire hose. They don't know where to turn.
Right. And I think there has to be an establishment of trust. You know, as I said, I'm not doing this for the money and the glamour. I know I'll never be invited to sit at the cool kids table anywhere, which is a lifelong trend, by the way. That trend started well before I got involved in Catholic media. But I also know how to do research, and my nonsense detector is pretty sound. And, you know, I'm never going to get rich or popular. So I'm just in there to track down the truth and make it available to people in a way that's both memorable and actionable. I have to believe that you're committed to doing something similar.
I am. And that's not why you do it, right? You're called to courage. We're called to live these radically demonstrative lives about our Christianity and our love of Jesus Christ. And even just saying his name in public is controversial nowadays as a Catholic. So I would just say that, like you said, we're not doing this for that reason. Our motivation has more to do with kind of feeling that call and that tug to do something in the public square because no one else is doing it. And so when you look around, you realize, wow, am I being called to this? Is this something that I have to prayerfully consider because I have these talents? You know, we read in scripture right before Lent, obviously, the parable of the talents. What will we be called to bring forward? What will we be called to task on the gifts that we were given? And did we actually use them? Are we going to show up having poured ourselves out like a libation for our communities and be accountable to God in what he has given us and how we've used those gifts?
See, I want to make sure that I die exhausted. I mean, that's one of my goals. And Jesuits are renowned for being workaholics in any case. Monse, one of my litmus tests for people who are doing a serious kind of work is how do you know when it's working? You know, for example, Fulton Sheen later in life said that he knows the retreat is a good retreat if afterwards people commit to making a daily holy hour. For me and the Catholic Current, if people say, hey, I want you to listen to this so we can talk about it, then I know the Catholic Current is working. You're hosting EWTN News in depth. What's your end goal? What does a happy listener look like? What's your desire for your audience?
A happy listener is informed, they're engaged, and they know how to live in the tension. Being Christian, like you mentioned, and also being well-informed and trying to engage in the public square inherently has this tension. It has this divisive feel to it, feeling confident. The EWTN News in-depth
tell us more about the tension.
Confident.
In holding something in tension, you're being pulled in at least two different directions. What is that
right
tension as you understand it?
With your eyes toward heaven, but being pulled back by the world, right? We know we have to live in the world and engage confidently in the world. But at the same time, our perspective is the perspective of wanting to get to heaven. That's our goal, right? And if that's what we're pushing for, we need the information and the right formation, which is what we hope to provide with this show, so that we can confidently engage without feeling like we're unprepared in one way or another, or that we're doing something wrong. You know, nowadays, the idea that you would believe in what the church actually teaches is being told, is being touted as discriminatory or as not loving the poor and not loving your neighbor. And that's wrong. That's wrong. And I hope that people who engage with the church and love the church or are part of the church or are, you know, in some way tempted by the values of the church in a good way, right? That beauty that attracts you.
Right.
I hope that they will see that and open that door and walk in knowing that there is love and grace and beauty in that, but also that those challenges are not a signal of bad things. Living a Christian life where you are being challenged and where people are kind of persecuting you, that is our call. And we should embrace that cross.
Sure. Right. See, my understanding of the tension is always to be in the world and not of the world. And, you know, the goal is to die a saint. And that means carrying the cross, being that sign of contradiction and living our lives in such a way that the only way it can be explained is the truth of Christian revelation. And when I was teaching full time, I'd say, look, you've got two options. You can be prepared or be surprised. And the surprise is not going to be a pleasant one. So let's look at it from another point of view. If people are not connected to EWTN News in depth, what are they missing? What are they lacking?
I think they're lacking that full formation. So the news coupled with where our principles come from, the news coupled with a reminder of what the church teaches on these difficult issues and sometimes hard to grasp issues. So like you were saying earlier, dusting off that beautiful formation that we have, Ecclesiastes, you know, tells us there's nothing new under the sun, right? There's nothing that the church hasn't already revealed and given to us. It's just dusting off that formation so that we can bring it with us when we look at the news and when we analyze what's going on in our world and how we make these decisions thoughtfully, carefully, in prayer.
Right. I mean, Catholics have a vast, vast, vast amount of experience to bring, to understand and interpret. I mean, there isn't really a novel crisis. I mean, we've seen empires and civilizations come and go. And I like to quote the great French Catholic scholar Étienne Gilson, who said the Catholic Church has a delightful habit of burying all of its would-be pallbearers. And I try to bring that perspective to my teaching, to my preaching, and also, like you, in the work and need it, to say, we have to be concerned. We have to be vigilant. But we don't have to be afraid. We certainly need not be intimidated, because we're fighting on the side of Christ, who has already conquered the world, who has already conquered sin and death.
Amen.
And he allows us to share in his victory. Friends, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Monse Alvarado, the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, now hosting EWTN News In Depth. In the next segment, we're going to talk about reasons for hope, why we should be happy warriors. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcast. Be part of the conversation and follow what we're following by following us on Gab. That's gab.com. Our handle is The Catholic Current. And if you're of a mind that your mental and moral immune system needs a book boost, check out my new book called Real Philosophy for Real People, Tools for Truthful Living. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Stay with us.
Praise be to Jesus. Hi, this is Joe McClain, host of the Catholic Drive Time Morning Show, joining you on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network each weekday morning at 7 a.m. We'll keep you informed and inspired with insightful guests and breaking news stories of the day. That's the Catholic Drive Time, weekday morning, 7 a.m. on the Station of the Cross and the iCatholic Radio app. We'll see you then. May God love you.
After today's broadcast, go to the Catholic Current Show page on thestationofthecross.com for info on today's guests, the show resource links, and to sign up for our weekly email of upcoming shows.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your early host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. We're talking about the intersection of faith and news. My guest today is Monse Alvarado. She's with the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty and now host of EWT News In Depth, heard Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on the Station of the Cross and other EWTN TV and radio affiliates. Monse, it's never an easy time to be a faithful Catholic. It always entails the cross. And opposition seems to be stirring up these days. I think the bad guys have more confidence than they did a year ago, even 6 months ago. Why do you get out of bed in the morning? We said it's not for the money and the glamour. It's not for the big fat check you get from the Vatican, probably not even for your great parking space. But when those mornings, when you're not feeling it, when that snooze button is looking mighty persuasive, why do you put both feet on the ground anyway?
Because I believe in Jesus Christ and the hope that that brings. Amen. And that's not a foolish hope. It's Christian hope.
Right.
And that's the big lie that society tells that being hopeful and believing in the future and believing in life after death is foolish. But we know that we are called to be fools for Christ. And so I'm happy to wake up and feel rather foolish and say my prayers and move into my day knowing that I'm not doing this for myself. And when you think about the world that way, when you think about it as for others, it's easy to not push the snooze button.
Well, you know, I once had a conversation with a Mormon missionary outside of the temple in Salt Lake City. And then we had, you know, the big reveal of who I was as a Jesuit. And finally, I said, look, if I'm not crazy, what must be true about God? And I'm so convinced that it is true of God that he's personal, he's wise, he's provident, he's sufficient for the human heart. And I'm so convinced that the world needs to know this, that I live my life in this very strange way and do this work that the world doesn't respect, so that people will say, well, why are you doing that? And I can say, well, let me tell you a story. This is going to be amazing. And I think this is a privileged time to be in Catholic media now, because we have a reach that we never had before. I mean, I'm old enough to remember what mimeograph sheets used to smell like when they were fresh. I used to get newspaper ink on my fingers. And I remember connecting to the internet through a modem. I'm actually that old. What are your hopes going forward? Where would you like Catholic Media to be in a year, 3 years, 5 years?
Wow. Everywhere.
That's a great answer. Everywhere. Yes.
I mean, if you think about the reach that EWTN has now, 350 million households, and where you wish that it was, where you wish that the voices that are coming out of the church, but also, you know, from multiple faiths. I do think that the religious impulse is one that, you know, manifests itself in many different ways. And we know where we wish it would be, but that doesn't mean that those are bad. But having voices that are religious, voices that understand that God compels you to do things in society, I would love to see more of that.
Well, you know, what brings to mind is when I was teaching medical ethics, and one of the things I stressed was, despite what the world says, you can't be promiscuous without consequence. And students are complained, Father, we want to hear the other side. And I said, this is the other side. I said, you're surrounded by the side all the time. Mm. You really think you need me to find you resources to encourage you to be promiscuous? Come on. So likewise, the world is really effective in trying to sell people to be even more worldly. So we are the alternative. And I would say, look, again, draw an analogy. Your friends who are worldly and promiscuous, how many of them are happy and at peace? Oh, it's none.
Yes,
I wonder why that is. So for people who are on the fence about whether or not Catholic Media is worth the effort, I said, the people who are drinking deeply from the well of the world, how many of them are at peace? How many of them can face life and death without terror? Really, not many. And if we're really honest, none. And I think that Catholic Media gives people an alternative. What are your thoughts on that?
I 100% you're right. We've had enough around us on Facebook, on TikTok, on Clubhouse, whatever the new flavor of the week is for social media, Snapchat, you know, the world is coming at us from all sides. It is attacking us with everything it's got. And so if your news source or even your commentary source, where you go to kind of clear your mind is formed in what you believe and where your heart is, where everything is supposed to stem from, right? The root of your life. Mm-hmm. Then you're probably going to end up in a different place and in a very good place because it centers you. Right. It brings you home. It brings you back.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I was a young priest and I was first assigned to a self-identified Catholic school, and I'd ask students about their religious identity, the most common answer I got was Catholic, I guess. And that was some 25 years ago. I think Catholic, I guess, is not going to survive very much longer. You're either going to become a saint or be eaten by the beast. And if you want to be a saint, I think you need to have Catholic information and a Catholic consciousness. So that's why I do what I do. I imagine your motivation is something similar.
Very similar. That's exactly right. This watered down, I'm not sure, is not going to get us anywhere. We have to make a decision and live confidently with that. And we need Catholic Media. We need voices like yours to continue to build that up.
And I also think too that we have to let people know there really is a Catholic perspective on everything. There is nothing that is not overshadowed by the cross of Christ and by His empty tomb. There is no part of creation that His promises don't touch. How do you bring that perspective to interpreting, say, politics or economics? And just give you a heads up, we got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, just remembering that you're Catholic first. It's the one thing that you always want to get to. If you are Catholic first, everything else is easy to sort out or easier to sort out. And right. I think that's where we're kind of missing the mark, is allowing politics to be your primary identity rather than your Catholicity or your faith or your family. And understanding that if we shift the hierarchy of perspective there, life becomes easier and life becomes more civil, which I think is also a very important thing that we have to pursue.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very, very much concerned about the ongoing loss of civility, which would probably be a good topic for our next conversation. We've got about a minute left. Do you have a word of encouragement for our listeners today?
Absolutely. I am not worried about the future. One, because I know where the victory is, but also because winning, we're winning. The tide is definitely turning in terms of the courts protecting the religious freedom and people standing up and voices, new voices emerging on the importance of, you know, life and marriage and religious freedom. So just be encouraged and use these resources, these Catholic news resources that allow you to be well-formed and come into the world confidently.
Right. We have more opportunities to be better formed, to be better informed, and ultimately transformed than I think we've ever had before. But we have to be proactive.
Yes.
We have to be smart. We have to admit we do have enemies who want us silent, compromised, or even dead. And Christ, our victorious King who reigns now and will return in glory, allows us a chance to share in his victory. Monse Alvarado, host of EWTN News In Depth, thank you for being a very great guest. I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you for having me. God bless you.
I'm Jesuit Father Robert McTague, your host Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern here at the Catholic Current. Join us on Monday. We're going to have an encore performance. We're going to welcome back our old friend Steve Ray, who's going to talk to us about how to be a great Catholic grandparent. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcasts. Spread it to your family and friends, and then we'll take it around the world. Through the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go in peace, and please do pray for me.